right, everyone, we're going to go ahead and reconvene. This is Story County Board of County Commissioners. And at this time, we're going to recess as the County Commissioners and convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. Next up on our agenda is item number 18. Discussion of possible action, Resolution 18-490, transfer of funds from the 474 Fire District to the Story County Community Development Department in the amount of $195,000. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a little briefing for the augmentation notes, a lot of things happen with the augmentations every single year. Those funds receiving ad valorem must publish a notice and needs a resolution. Those funds not receiving ad valorem and enterprise funds just need a resolution and with no publish. And I think the theory behind the Department of Taxation in the old days was ad valorem was from all of the people within the county, and therefore a particular amount of attention should be spent for that. Appropriations may be transferred between functions, funds, and contingency accounts if the transfer does not increase at all the total appropriations of the county. We may transfer appropriations within a function, which means within a department. We may transfer appropriations between functions and programs if the Board of County Commissioners are advised at the meeting and the action is recorded in the minutes. We may recommend to the Board of County Commissioners to authorize transfers of appropriations between funds or contingencies if, again, the Board of County Commissioners announces at the regular meeting and sets exact amounts to be transferred and affected by the accounts, functions, and programs of and funds affected. And the Board of County Commissioners sets those reasons, and the action is recorded in the minutes. So as you see, this is a very lengthy process that the Board of Department of Taxation has required, and in this particular case, with over 5,000 line items, we have done all the department heads have done a very good job of trying to maintain within what we call a line item budgeting, which was a recommendation of Commissioner Gilman when he first got here. We have tried to do that. However, there are those circumstances within a budget when certain items happen. We have tried very diligently to at least inform the board that these items are occurring and that we will probably need augmentations. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I am asking for your approval of Resolution 18-4-0, which transfers funds from the 474 Fire District to the Story County Community Development Department in the amount of $195,000. I will go further to say, at this time last year, the fire department had its own building permit fire marshal. This is merely transferring those funds that were budgeted for the 474 Fire District and putting those in the community development department since they took over that process effective sometime in the second week of August of 2017. We are transferring $155,000 in salaries and $40,000 in benefits, which reflect two inspectors and one fire marshal. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Mr. Chairman, any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve this Resolution 18-490.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 18-490, which transfers funds from the 474 Fire District to the Story County Community Development Department in the amount of $195,000.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve this resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number 19, discussion of possible action. Resolution 18-496, augment the 474 Fire District Mutual Aid in the amount of $405,000. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This pretty much is my fault. I, for some reason, didn't think it was necessary to budget for an in-and-out special revenue fund. I am wrong. And so, consequently, in order to make this budget equal to the appropriations, I ask for your approval. As we know, the mutual aid, the special revenue fund only is used when we have out-of-district deployments. So there is revenue and there is expenses with that. They have a healthy ending fund balance. However, I do need $200,000 in salaries, $30,000 in benefits, services and supplies of $50,000, and capital outlay of $125,000, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Commissioners, have any questions for Mr. Gallagher?
Yeah, so is this going from the general to this
no.
account?
No, this is within the special revenue fund. This is an augment from what they have received on those out of district deployments.
Thank you.
Is there public comment on this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 18-496, which augments the 474 Fire District Mutual Aid in an account in the amount of $405,000 pursuant to NRS 354.598005.
Motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and second to approve resolutions 18-496. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We're going to adjourn as the 474 Fire District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up on our agenda is item number 21, is discussion of possible action. Approval of resolution 18-491. Transfer of funds from the Story County Contingency Fund to Piper's Opera House Fund in the amount of $67,000. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In prior years, we had given a stipend to Piper's Opera House. As we all know, the property was purchased and operation started in January of this year. We really didn't have a budget. However, in order to prevent over-appropriations per our financial statement, this will give us at least a leeway so that we can look at this budget and we have so we will probably not be out of compliance. And so I'm asking for, out of contingency, a transfer to the Piper's Opera House in salaries of $23,000, benefits of $90,000, and services and supplies of $35,000. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher, commissioners?
This is basically their operating fund to start with.
Right. We gave them a stipend before when they were
right.
Part of that. We're part of the school district, and so we want to give them enough money to so they can rely on what they're doing, and I think their budget's pretty good for next year.
We should also point out that we also go ahead and we help out all of our nonprofits countywide with financial assistance.
And if I may, I think once we really start digging into the actual performance this year for the same period of times in terms of revenue, the events that are being booked into the Opera House are going to provide a revenue stream unlike a lot of the other nonprofits that we speak of. So it should come out very well.
Right. Thanks, Pat. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve Resolution 18-491.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 18-491, which transfers funds from the Story County Contingency Fund to Piper's Opera House in the amount of $67,000.
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve Resolution 18-491. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 22, discussion and possible action. Resolution 18-492. Augment Story County General Fund and transfer to Story County Capital Projects Fund in the amount of $2 million. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This appropriation or transfer of $2 million from higher than from the general funds is due to obviously we've got some expenditures which are some street paving and the water line project and the sewer project, which are above $1 million or $1 million at this point in time, to order to continually fund further capital projects. I am asking for a transfer of $2 million, $1 million in capital outlay, $500,000 for Tyler, which is our computer infrastructure, and also to DevNet, which is also a computer infrastructure, which we hopefully by this time next year we will be operational, and we will unleash or unhook the 35-year-old software that we presently had.
Very good. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Gallagher? All right. Yeah. Public comment? Ms. Clark?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Just curious, were these items already in the budget and you're just transferring the money from general to an account that can then pay it out, or are these items getting added to the existing budget and getting paid out of general fund so the general fund will go down?
No, general fund has not been responsible for the we have taken this directly into capital projects, as we have for a lot of other needs that we have. We sheriff vehicles, for example, we put in there because the sheriff's budget at points in time really doesn't reflect accurately what his operations is, and so we have tried to do certain things like that in the past.
Okay, so these items were in the
original...
They're
already in cap projects.
They were already in the original
yes.
budget.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Any other public comment? We get a motion to approve Resolution 18-492.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 18-492, which augments Story County General Fund and transfers $2 million to Story County Capital Projects Fund pursuant to NTS 354-598-005.
I'll second.
We moved in second to approve Resolution 18-492. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number 23, discussion of possible action, approval of a transfers of appropriation within general fund departments and special revenue funds pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $633,300. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These come in four parts. There is transfers from the general fund contingency of $337,000, of which that is a transfer from contingency to the Community Development Department in the amount not in, from in the amount of $12,000 for training, $1,500 for computer software, $8,000 for fuel, $2,500 for tires, and $27,000 for professional services, and $11,000 for adverse relations. This is an addition to what Community Development obtained from the 474 Fire District, but this is also an additional of stuff that they have done since August of this year. Professional services were, we needed a fire marshal at one point in time until we grabbed one. The other things are pretty much their expenditures through this and to get them through at least the year end. We have a transfer out to sewer, which we'll discuss later, of $208,000, and another transfer to Piper in the amount of $67,000. I will go over, the $114,000 transfers within a department between objects. So that means that a department may be higher in one area, which is either salaries, benefits, operational expenses, or capital outlay, and we are allowed to transfer within those two functions or objects. We took from the general administrative, we took $50,000 out of their services supplies, and $26,000 went to salaries, $2,000 went to PERS, $5,500 went to health insurance, $5,500 went to Social Security, and allows $11,000 to retiree health benefits. I will mention that in salaries, there are anything from new employees to reclassifications, and something that we didn't look at until we were right in the middle of it. We have an extra pay period in this year, so that pretty much has put a lot of stress on those departments, and we are doing this to relieve some of that stress. Health insurance obviously increased about 20% this year, although we had a fairly good idea. We still have May and June in these current, because the health insurance starts May 1st, so we have really a 20% increase in those months. This is to give a little satisfaction to that. Buildings and grounds, we took $15,000 out of capital outlay, and they had $10,000 in labor relations and $5,000 in utilities we gave them. The Sheriff's Department, we grabbed $40,000 and pretty much gave that to their benefits, which are pretty much PERS corrections, pool pack, and garnishments, or capital outlay, excuse me. Health and Human Services, we took $1,000 from services and supplies, and we gave that to their health insurance. Communications, we took $9,000 from equipment maintenance, rents and leases, and gave that to, appropriated that to their salaries. Emergency management, we took $500 from benefits and gave that to salaries for a total of $114,500. The transfers, also there's planning, we took $1,000 from salaries and benefits and gave that to health insurance. And the district attorney, we grabbed $9,000 and gave that to the DAs for $4,000 in salaries and $5,000 for health insurance. To the other one. The transfers between departments and objects of $178,000 is the following. We took $178,500 from the district attorney, the clerk treasurer. We got $60,000, of which $20,000 is PERS, $20,000 is salaries, $6,000 is PERS, $14,000 of health insurance, $40,000 in refunds, and I will tell you the refunds is due to a taxpayer who went online and not only paid her taxes or their taxes once, but twice, but three times. And so this was a refund for that. They must have hit the button a couple more times. To administration for $6,800 in PERS. Sheriff's Office got $5,000 for the coroner's office because lab fees, the price of doing business, increased business, I think. We gave the sheriff $5,200 in insurance deductible for pool claims. The district court got $38,500 for their public defender, which was my fault because I decreased their budget for that year, thinking that we would make it, and obviously we didn't. Justice Court got $3,000 in training. The comptroller got $5,000 in employee benefits, which was an employee change of that magnitude. $15,000 in professional services, which is an increase in the ADS. We have a consultant that looks at some of the various prospects we have in conjunction with the Department of Taxation, and J&A Consulting, which does our debt management report for us. And then planning, we gave them 20,000, of which that includes Far West for their GIS consulting. Mr. Chairman, I think I mentioned most of those projects.
Mr. Gallagher, commissioners have any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Public comment?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Mr. Gallagher, are any of the PERS transfers, either ones that have been discussed or ones that will be discussed, relating to anything other than just normal benefits and health insurance transactions?
No, it's pretty much relative to the extra payroll period we had for that year. Sometimes if there's a if we have a collective bargaining agreement, we had two of them this year. Obviously, for public safety, there is, and so those contracts reflect those PERS increases, not from the amount, but probably from the salaries that would be gathered from that union contract.
But, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. But other than that, that's where they're.
And so there's no early retirement bonuses or
no bias, no nothing.
Very good. You'd mentioned an adverse labor relations line item. I think at first you called it $11,000, and then when you were reading off the detail, it was $10,000. Can you elaborate on that?
I can't, because I can't give you the person's name. It has effect. That's Austin's area. It's relative to things that we've had to do either with Pullpack or whatever, and we have found that. That instead of keeping that in one account, because the department was involved in it, we actually put it in that department. But I don't think I'm at liberty to tell you about that, Sam. I'm not sure.
So in days gone by, great hay has been made at similar type of payments issued as a result of the sheriff's office. And in those cases, all the names were very clearly and loudly broadcast. So in this case, we're going to keep it under wraps.
You know, I'll ask.
Let me go ahead. Jump in. Sam, I need you to draw me to which one. Is this the Public Works one?
I believe that's what it was. That's the account that it came out of.
Okay.
Yes.
The commission has previously publicly approved a settlement offer. You know, you can go back. It's pretty simple. But we changed Public Works directors. This was a settlement approved publicly.
Okay, yeah, I must have missed that meeting, so thank you. So that's the Public Works directors, then, where that transaction was required. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other public comment regarding this item?
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
So, Mr. Gallagher, on the agenda, item 23, it states $633,300.
It should be 640.
Okay, so that's a commissioner.
Yes, 645. As the previous one, I think, had 2,000 for capital projects, it should be 2 million.
We got that.
Okay.
All right. Any other public comment? Hearing none. Go ahead and get a motion to approve these transfers.
I'll make a motion to to approve the transfers of appropriations within the general fund departments and special revenue funds pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $640,500.
I second.
Great. It's been moved and second to approve the transfer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 24, discussion of possible action, resolution 18-493, augmentation of the Story County Justice Court Fund in the amount of $7,000. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have we had an appropriation of $7,000 for, actually it was court view user fees, of which we're using probably some of it right now, and we took some revenue from higher than anticipated revenue from the Justice Court in the amount of $5,000 for the Justice of the Peace Administrative Assessment Account, and we took $2,000 from the Justice of the Peace Court facility fund. Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Gallagher. Commissioners, have any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Any public comment? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve Resolution 18-493.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 18-493, which accepts the augmentation for the Story County Justice Court Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $7,000.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve Resolution 18-493. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number 25, discussion of possible action, Resolution 18-494, augmentation of the Story County Indigent Fund in the amount of $5,500. Mr. Gallagher.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Chairman. The Indigent Action Fund is funded by ad valorem and centrally assessed. The items of which we were trying to augment is the Indigent Action Fund itself through payments to the Nevada State Controller. We received money through this, and then, of course, it's an in and out account. It never should go bad, never should go dry, but unfortunately, we've got more appropriations than we thought we should have or would have had, and so consequently, this transfer of money is $5,500 is for that purpose, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Any public comment? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve Resolution 18-494.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 18-494, which accepts augmentation for the Story County Indigent Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $5,500.
I'll second.
Been moved in a second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on. Item number 27, discussion of possible action, Resolution 18-495.
What? 26.
26.
Oh, shoot. Thank you. Thank you. Acceptance of a transfer of funds from the 474 Fire District to the Story County Development Department and distributions as recommended in the amount of $195,000. This is the backside of item number 18, which we already approved. Mr. Gallagher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is just approving the distribution of $155,000 in salaries and $40,000 in benefits as per Resolution 18490 from the 474 Fire District to the Story County General Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Any other questions, Commissioners? Public comment? Hearing none, if we get a motion to approve, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the acceptance of funds transferred from the 474 Fire District in the amount of $195,000 to Story County Community Development and Comptroller's recommendation on distribution of funds pursuant to NRS 354.598005.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve this transfer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries unanimously. Item number 27. Resolution 18-495, transfer of funds from the Story County Contingency Fund to the Virginia Divide Sewer in the amount of $208,300. Mr. Gallagher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is a transfer of salaries of $12,000, benefits of $7,000, and capital outlay of $189,500, mainly due to the Gold Hill septic. We're still going to have some appropriations on that area for next year, for the next fiscal year, but this was to aid in the help of those funds being expended.
And if I may just a note to correct the record, I think on the agenda we are listed at $208,300, and the correct amount is $208,500, correct?
$208,500.
Commissioners, have any questions for Mr. Gallagher? So any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve Resolution 18-495.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 18-495, which transfers funds from the Story County Contingency Fund to the Virginia Divide Sewer in the amount of $208,500 pursuant to NRS 354.598005.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve resolution 18-495. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. This time we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. With the next item up is number 29, discussion of possible action. Acceptance of a transfer of funds of the Story County Contingency Fund to the Virginia Divide Sewer Distributions is recommended the amount of $208,000. Is it supposed to be $500?
Yes.
And $500. So this is the backside of item 27. So, Mr. Gallagher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The distribution of the $208,500 is as follows. As I mentioned, salaries of $12,000. Benefits and health insurance of $7,000, capital outlay of $132,000. This is due to the USDA sewer line replacement. That note and those things weren't signed until after the end of the fiscal year in 2017. So it was not in the budget. We have to do that and put that in the budget for that payment. And also the rehab and planning for $57,000 for the Gold Hill septics. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we go ahead and get a motion to accept these transfer of funds.
I move to approve the acceptance of funds transferred from Story County Contingency in the amount of $208,500 into the Virginia Divide Sewer Fund and the Comptroller's recommendations on distribution of funds pursuant to it to NRS 354.598005.
I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
We moved and seconded to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 30, discussion of possible action, transfer of appropriations in the Story County Water Fund in the amount of $52,000. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an appropriation that comes out of the capital reserve for the water fund in the amount of $48,000 and for the water purchase of $4,000. And we are going to distribute that money to salaries of $37,000 and also benefits of $15,000. I will mention that we are looking at water and sewer. However, the total public works budget to actual is very good. What had happened last year with the new administration that went on with Public Works, we reallocated salaries of the director and all of that staff to where they were supposed to be relative to where they were. And so these are really kind of what we thought their responsibilities were at that point until a permanent director was appointed, and so consequently this reflects this, but the public works budget as a whole, which is an enterprise fund, two special revenue funds, which is water and roads, and three departmentals, which is buildings and grounds, the pool, and service, they are all very good at this point in time.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Any public comment regarding this item?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to wait till the last resolution and augmentation, but I want to commend you and Jennifer. They sat down with myself, Jesse, and Austin last week and reviewed these. As you can tell, this year-end true-up, if you will, for all the various reasons, 2 months of health insurance, some unanticipated settlements like we talked about with Mr. Toll, you know, and others. I think, you know, again, this is a very complex, tedious process. And I have to tell you, I've never seen Jennifer move as fast as she has moved through some of these. If there was one minor change that we forgot as recently as a few days ago, the HVAC units went out in this building. I almost got shot when I went in the comptroller's office to suggest that Jason and Jeff found a great price through their HVAC guy, but that's the type of stuff that triggers these and creates a tremendous amount of detail work, and they've done a great job on this. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, if I could get a motion to approve this transfer.
I make a motion to approve the transfers of appropriations within the Story County Water Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $52,000.
I'll second.
And moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
If I may, I'd like to follow up with Pat's comments.
Right ahead.
I think we need to take a moment here and kind of reflect, going back 6 years, more or less, and the idea was born among this crew here that we would go to line item budget, and our staff has worked at it, and Pat Whitten and Hugh Gallagher, I can't tell you how proud I am of these folks, but to think about this for a minute, we're making some adjustments right now going into the fourth quarter, and we're doing it in full transparency to the folks, the public. I think it's an absolute first that I know of since I've been sitting here. And so this is called fiscal responsibility. This is called getting our arms around the budgeting. This is called being very transparent of where we're going, and everybody knows. And Hugh has actually gone by line item here in everything that we're looking at and augmenting. And I feel that this is a banner moment in Story County and our fiscal management of our county funds. I thank you all very much for that. You guys have done a great job.
I agree with you. You know, with all of the different departments and the subcategories and that, this is a lot to track. And each year it gets tighter and tighter, you know, because no budget's ever going to be perfect, but it just every year it just gets better and better. So,
Marshall, I think that the counties in Nevada are puzzled and proud and really curious on how Story County pulled this off. And with everything going on in the county and all the development and the growth and the optimism we all have to get our financial house in order this way, I just think it's beyond great.
And envious, too.
And envious. They are very envious.
Definitely.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you for that, Lance. Okay. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, and we're going to convene as the Story County Liquor Board. So next up on our agenda item is number 32, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible approval of first reading for on-sale and off-sale liquor licenses and cabaret license for Bonanza Saloon, 27 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. The applicant is Vincent Moffitano. Sheriff.
As you know, Dr. Moffitano applied a while back and was denied. He has now reapplied with us. We're at that first reading stage. We've gotten back the initial fingerprint check. Nothing there that would preclude him from having a license, so we're processing it through as with any other license. Because they want to maintain the operation, no temporary is going to be granted. It'll continue to be licensed under Tina Perkins' license up until such time as the second reading comes before the board and there's a final decision made.
Okay. My question to you is this. It was the last time we went through this was about 3 years ago, and you gave us the same report that everything came back okay. But in Carson City, State Gaming Control Board and Nevada Gaming Commission, there was a whole mountain of information down there. And you said you didn't have the tools or accessibility to the same information that the state of Nevada had. So, which I think at the time you probably could have contacted State Gaming and they would have given you the report on this. Because it was all timed at the same time of year.
Well, if I may correct you, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that that was the case at all. I said that there was nothing we uncovered in our investigation that would preclude him from holding a liquor license under Story County ordinance. Gaming standards are far different than what we have held for liquor licenses.
Okay, but if we want to, you know, I hate to rehash this over and over again, but if we go back, I think it's County Code Chapter 5, when we're looking at business probate, if we look at the condition that Mr. Moffitano's financials were in the time of the debt that he had, and the tax liens and delinquent tax payments and those issues, that falls under the business probity. So I think I would have to argue with you that the information was there, that he probably wasn't in a financial predicament or position in order to go ahead and operate a business with a license like that at the time.
Well, you're right. Without rehashing all of the past history, like I said, this is the first reading, and every time we've come to you with a first reading, it's basically with the return of the fingerprint criminal history that shows no exclusionary things. The rest of those situations, the rest of the things you've discussed, the finances, all of that stuff will be brought forward at the time of the second reading. And that's why I said we will proceed as with any other license. At first reading, all we ever come forward with, because of the ordinance requiring two readings, the first reading comes, all we have is to make sure there's no criminal preclusions.
Okay, thanks for that. But you know, we don't ever get a staff report from your office on any of these business licenses, so I wouldn't know how far you've gone, how far you've dwelled into an investigation on these items.
You have been getting them on second readings.
All right. So, Mr. Loomis, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I did want to go back a little bit and explain a couple of things that happened. And initially, when Mr. Malfitano applied for liquor licenses, those were heard on October 6, 2015, and were denied, largely based upon the findings of the Gaming Commission. That denial was challenged to the district court, which the district court upheld the board's decision. It was then appealed to the Nevada Supreme Court, which again upheld this board's decision. And what the Nevada Supreme Court said in two important respects was that the language in the ordinance that there's a restriction that says it has to be a satisfactory and profitable business enterprise. The challenge from the applicant was that the term satisfactory was too vague to comply with due process. The Nevada Supreme Court said no, in light of the circumstances of the case, and that it's an application for a license, not a revocation of a license, doesn't have criminal consequences, that the use of the term satisfactory is sufficient to comply with due process requirements. One of the other things that was challenged was the fact that the applicant asserted that reliance on the information provided by the Gaming Commission violated his right to equal protection because no other applicants were subjected to that kind of requirement. The Nevada Supreme Court said, no, there's a rational basis for why he was treated differently from other applicants based upon the fact that the information from the Gaming Control Board addressed financial issues, which is the same thing that is addressed in our ordinance. So those issues have been settled by the Nevada Supreme Court in terms of what this board did on the 6th and what you can do going forward from this. Now, in our liquor license ordinance, it provides that application for a new license may be submitted and considered for first reading following a 30-day investigative period. So the first reading comes after that 30-day investigative period, which is what the sheriff has done at this point. There's an additional provision under this part of the liquor license ordinance that says additional investigative time may be taken by the licensing authorities if required, which gives this board the authority to do additional investigation if it desires to do so and can decide who you want to delegate that investigative authority to and what it is you want to investigate. So that is an option that's available to the board at this point. And I think that before considering this, that Commissioners Gilman and McBride will have to provide a disclosure.
Okay. So upon the advice of counsel there, I will disclose that I hold a liquor and cabaret license in proximity to Mr. Moffitano's establishments on C Street. And how I would vote on this item would not affect Mr. Moffitano any more than any other business owner with the same licensing that I have.
I'll make the same disclosure that Chairman McBride made.
So I guess I would ask you Mr. Loomis, the going forward, if we were to go ahead and approve the first reading of this cabaret, this liquor license and cabaret licenses, that Mr. Moffitano would come back for consideration of receiving a liquor license. Would we direct the sheriff to do further investigation? Should he do it on his own, or should we direct outside investigation to...
That's addressed to the discretion of the board.
Okay. So, what's the pleasure of the board?
I believe an outside investigation would be important in this case. I fully believe that we need to take the gaming board information into consideration. So if we were to move forward after this first reading, then I'd like to have additional reporting on the background.
If I can offer, we are still involved in background investigation. It's been assigned to one of my investigators. We're processing it the same manner as we process every other investigation. He has already been in touch with the Gaming Control Board, but I don't have that information at my disposal at the present time because it is in the investigation. However, to base anything on the investigation of the Gaming Control Board that was previously done would be somewhat irresponsible since it is dated at this point in time.
Sure.
I would indicate that it would be in my intention at the second reading to introduce the findings of the Gaming Commission because I do believe while they are somewhat dated at this point, they are still very relevant.
Mr. Loomis, is there any implications involved with to the fact that the sheriff or Mr. Malafitano hosted his election party?
Hosted the sheriff's election party?
Yeah. Would there be a conflict?
If I may offer, that was bought and paid for. There was not a donation on Mr. Malfitano's part, and the arrangement was actually made with Ms. Perkins.
Understand the sheriff to disclose that it was bought and paid for by his own campaign funds rather than donated by Mr. Malfitano. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I don't see a conflict with that. There's no.
Just want clarity.
Okay, before I go ahead and move on, I think I'll go ahead and ask the applicant if he wishes to go ahead and say anything before the board. I don't have any questions at this time, but if there was a statement you wanted to make. Okay. Okay. Come on up. No, I need you to come up to the podium, Mr. Moffitano. State your name for the record. That way the clerk gets all the information now.
Vince Malfitano, owner of the Delta and the Bonanza. There are things that haven't changed, and there are things that have changed since 15. The Gaming Control Board findings are still inaccurate. They're not factual. And they're refuted, easily refuted. The things that have changed is that since the denial of the business and gaming license the last 3 years, that the businesses have been run successfully. They continue to employ. Nothing's gone on that's been untoward. There's been no actions brought against me for any reason. So... that's the change. The challenge was, when we talk about business probing, how likely is this guy to run a successful business? Well, the fact is that I didn't shutter the doors. We're still there, still hiring people, still serving the tourists in the community. So that speaks for itself. And that's I'll take any questions you might have, but that's all I really have to say.
I guess I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
My first one was, I've heard, of course, I don't know if I wouldn't call it the grapevine, but I've heard from, I thought would be a considerable source, that you're going to reapply with the Gaming Commission to be licensed in gaming.
Considering it.
Okay.
The business as it sits now is doing fine without gaming.
Okay. Because I would say that to be licensed by gaming would speak volumes. You know, on our denial almost 3 years ago, came up with the findings of that department.
So. Yeah, I agree 100%. The issue with the Gaming Control Board is that very powerful, and they can't be questioned. So I guess the only way I can refute their findings is just to go back to them, if for nothing else, not just a license, but to clear my name of all the garbage. It's just to show them the facts. I mean, the facts that you brought up, Chairman Marshall, is that, you know, I was bankrupt and this and that. Well, the facts don't support that. They don't support that now. The fact is, one of the things that have changed since your denial, this board's denial, is that I have no debt on my properties. I paid them off. So if that doesn't show business probity, I don't know what else I can do for the board to prove that. So I didn't mean to barge in. You go ahead.
No, that's exactly what we want to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, the Gaming Control Board as most of you know, as you know personally, is very tough. And, you know, unfortunately, I was kind of the victim of some bias. Not complaining about that. That's just the way it is. And I have to accept that. But the findings almost down the line are easily refutable, but there's no vehicle to do that other than a reapplication. And to reapply, as you personally know, is very costly. Very, very costly. It's very time-consuming. And it's tough on not so much me, but the family. So I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. I've not done so at this point.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions for Mr. Malfatone?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This is an action item, so is there any public comment regarding this item?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I would encourage you to take a look at the progress that has been made based in the time frame between when Mr. Mokotano was denied his liquor license and his gaming license and today. I have been at his establishment and seen him and Tina as well working very hard to make a go of that business. As you guys know, it's not easy to make a living on C Street, regardless of how full the town is. I've watched Mr. Malfatano, working in that kitchen in the Bonanza, trying to get that thing running, getting grease on his own hands. And I think that his investment in the community is clear. I realize that when you apply for a liquor license, it's not the same as having a liquor license and having it be subject to revocation. But I do know, based upon public records that I've received, that Mr. Gilman, for example, on up until 2017, when his tax payment record was immaculate and became immaculate, was habitually truant on his tax payments. I'm also under the impression that the same is true with the brothel license. So regardless of, you know, the travails, and as a business owner myself, I know I missed a few tax payments as well. Mr. Gallagher shared that there's an extra payroll period. That cost me, and this year, cost me $100,000, and it's not easy to anticipate and weather those unexpected storms. But I do know that both Tina and Mr. Malfatano have made a significant investment in their properties, both in money and in sweat and tears and elbow grease. And I think that I'm hoping that you gentlemen are at your word when you suggest that, you know, even though you're across the street and next door to his businesses, that you can be impartial on this, because I think that he deserves a fair shot. I know that both Tina and Vince have worked very hard to get to this point. So thank you very much.
All Thank you. Any other public comment? So as this item stands right now, to approve this first reading, to make it perfectly clear, this is for consideration. This isn't a guarantee of a license.
That is correct.
So,
as stated, there won't be a second, or there won't be a temporary license issued until the second hearing.
What?
I'd like to recommend here for consideration that we ask our district attorney to hire an outside attorney to do the background check and prep the presentation for the next meeting prior to moving forward.
Okay, I don't know if I quite understand. You want an outside attorney to do the investigation or just...
Malfantano's background, yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Commissioner Gilman, could I ask for clarification with a suggestion?
Sure.
I believe I heard you say ask the district attorney's office to hire an outside attorney to investigate, and I might propose, no disrespect to at least the one attorney in the room, you may want to consider not an attorney, but a financial type of person, a person that can dig into finances, as opposed to legal counsel. We've got legal counsel here, just a suggestion.
So we can look at legal counsel. We might look at somebody like Gil Gladden. But I think a third party independent would give us a arm's length review of what we have in the background on the license.
That's fine with my office. I'll run that by Ms. Langer and she'll make the final decision on that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment. And the sheriff just brought this up, that there is a, you know, if you approve this today, you will issue a temporary liquor license, if I heard it right.
He said he would not issue a temporary liquor license.
Okay, good. Because Mr. Malfitano's, his lessee also still has a liquor license through the agreement in December of 2015, if I'm not incorrect.
I guess that's correct. You wouldn't be able to issue a temporary because we can't have two licensees at the same time, right?
That is correct. We can't have two licenses at one time, and we don't want to harm the business for Ms. Perkins.
Right. Okay. But you've already stated you would not be issuing a temporary license.
Correct.
Okay. So I think we made some great headway here. So why don't we go ahead and you want to read the motion on this?
Sure. But I also would like to make a statement on this. I do admire Mr. Malfitano's diligence to keep the place open and running. And you were denied due to probity, and you've kind of proven it. The way I see it right now, you've kind of proven us wrong, but we don't know what's going on behind the green door to speak up. So my hat's off to you for keeping the place. Otherwise, it looked like a ghost town with those places closed. So with that said, I'll make a motion to approve the first reading for on sale, off sale, and cabaret for Bonanza Saloon at 27 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Vincent Malfitano.
Okay. The only thing I didn't hear in your motion was consideration. Was that not in the motion?
No.
Would you like to add that consideration to it?
I mean, we're just approving the first reading.
I know. But it's agendized is consideration and possible approval. Since we've been in litigation before, I just want us to have all of our ducks in a row here.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the first reading and the consideration for on sale, off sale, and cabaret for Bonanza Saloon,
located at 27 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Vincent Malfitano.
Thank you. Does that pass muster with you, Councilor?
It does, but there is a second a secondary motion regarding the request in the DA's office for the investigation.
You want to add Lance's request on, in your motion?
I'll let Lance on that.
Okay.
You want to add that?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So I move that we ask our district attorney's office to bring in some outside investigative help, looking at Mr. Malvitano's background, and to prepare that report for us for the next meeting.
Okay.
Just another point of the next meeting is 2 weeks from now. Do you want that at the next meeting, Commissioner Gilman, or do you want it when the second reading is...
That's the second reading.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we've got a motion and a motion here. So we're going to get... How do we second this motion?
I'll second his motion. You can second my motion.
I like it.
Okay.
I'll second Mr. Gilman's motion.
Okay.
I'll second Mr. McGuffey's.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, Sheriff. Next up is item 33, discussion of possible action, consideration of possible approval of the first reading for on-sale and off-sale liquor license and cabaret license for the Delta Saloon, 18 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicant is Vincent Malfitano. Sheriff Antonoro.
This is all the same discussion that we just had on item number 32. You want to go through it item by item, and we're in the same circumstance, just a different address?
I believe we are, and I'll go ahead and make the same disclosure as I made before, that I, too, hold a liquor and cabaret license in proximity to Mr. Malfitano's businesses, and how I would vote on this matter would affect Mr. Malfitano no more than anyone else who holds the same licenses. Mr. Gilman?
Yes, I also hold a liquor license on C Street, and I make the same disclosure as Chairman McBride.
Very good. Okay. So the motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion.
I better read the motion.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said the motion.
Commissioner McGuffey, would you make the same motion regarding the Delta as was made regarding the Bonanza?
Sure.
And incorporate Commissioner Gilman's motion?
You were right-handed. You could write fast. Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay. I'll ask for public comment.
Sure. Okay. Once again, I'll offer a public comment. Thank you, Special Counsel, for that. Okay. Okay, can I get a motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the first reading in consideration for on-sale, off-sale, and cabaret for Delta Saloon located at 18 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Vincent Malfitano, and also direct the DA's office to acquire outside counsel for the background check.
Very good. I have a motion.
Second.
I move to second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Jerry, did you say that? Okay. All right. Good luck. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners. On to item number 35. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of business license, second readings. Mr. Witt.
You know, I sometimes fail to say thank you and recognize the
value of legal counsel, especially when you're sitting at the table. Mr. Loomis told me not once, not twice, but at least three times, I don't have to read every name. And on a day where there are 28 second readings, I am especially thankful, even though I could probably pronounce each and every one of these. So it is the recommendation of community development that all items appearing on your agenda and in the packet, items A through BB, be approved as second reading business licenses.
I don't know. I think I want you to read number O.
Number O. Let me try. ARC Health and Wellness Center.
Oh. And is it all of them?
No. Oh. Excuse me. Better get new glasses.
ARC Health Wellness?
Yeah, we'll do... okay. I stand corrected.
Yeah. I had to find one from Japan. That's it. Okay. Is there a public comment regarding the second reading business licenses? Hearing none, we got a motion to approve items A through double B.
I'll make a motion to approve business license second readings A through double B.
Second.
Been moved and second to approve all items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 36, public comment.
Almost. Give me about 3 minutes. So, again, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I'd like to echo Mr. Gilman's comments on the transparency that this latest augmentation process sort of reveals. As you know, I do an awful lot of public records requests. I think I'm up to 40 now this year. And I got to tell you, nobody is quicker and more clear, more detailed than Mr. Gallagher. He provides me with immediate answers, and I'm very grateful for the transparency that his office in particular and how that bleeds down to or trickles down to the rest of Story County. I attended the VCTC meeting on Thursday. Mr. Gilman, of course, is on that board, and I hope that he shared with you the sentiment that Mr. Dodson may have forgotten about during his briefing. There were about 35 merchants from C Street. These are people who make their living on C Street. And the tenor of the room for canceling the Ferrari races was untenable, I guess, would be a good way to put it. There's an opportunity here, I think, Pat. I'm advised that the decision was yours and that you decided that this year there would be no Ferrari races. My gut says that this could have been the world's smallest paramecium race. If it had been canceled, I think there would have been the same outcry from the merchants on C Street. And I think that represents a disconnect between the VCTC and the folks whose you know sole job it is to support. In business, you know, there's a difference between sales and marketing. Marketing brings the customer to the door and gets them to knock on it, but sales invites them in. And it's the job of the merchants to make the best of the crowds that are on C Street. It's very clear that each event that Story County holds benefits different businesses differently. Over the weekend, we had the Cowgirl Bar Crawl with the line dance, and companies who have entertainment and who sell alcohol benefited more than the knick-knack paddywhack guys who sell trinkets and that sort of thing. But I think that we have an opportunity here, Mr. Whitten, and I would respectfully request that you perhaps reconsider the ironclad door being shut to sort of reach out to these merchants who, many of whom were vocally upset and angry with the decision. I read through the documents that Mr. Dodson provided me, emails going back from 2011 to present, and I found lots of reasons to side with you, Mr. Whitten, on how disorganized, how last minute, how cavalier, and you know how typical of a
of a million-dollar car owner, their attitude might present to Virginia City. Similarly, the town doesn't get packed like it does with other events. But the event itself, I think, gives back to the community well. I don't know of many other events that donate to the high school senior trip class. As you know, Mr. Hess received a $35,000 school bus. I talked to the director of transportation, and she was excited to be able to get it finally inspected now after it got de-Californiaized and is up to Nevada standards to get that thing on the road so that our students can go to different sporting events and that sort of thing. So I think that there's an opportunity here to do some repair. And I think that Mr. Whitten, with all due respect, if you have an opportunity to reconsider this, I think it would be good optics as opposed to canceling it, which I think displays bad optics. Finally, I know I'm perhaps close to my 3 minutes, so I'll wrap it up. It's my understanding that the opportunity zone, which I missed the discussion of in the meeting, is something that will benefit some of the bigger players potentially at the industrial park. And one of the things that again, the tenor of the VCTC meeting, the fact that, you know, merchants who don't own their own businesses are hanging on by their fingernails in many cases, every single opportunity to increase the bottom line is welcome to them. If there would be perhaps a workshop that we might be able to put on the agenda to perhaps help some of the folks on C Street realize the advantage that the Opportunity Zone represents, explain to them what it is. I mean, I've read a little bit about it. It looks like you really have to do investments and put money in before you get to take full benefit of that. But I think that might be an opportunity, again, to assuage some of the very raw nerves that exist with many of these merchants. Again, I went up and down C Street. I collected signatures from the folks. I'm going to present those to you, Mr. Whitten, later on this afternoon. And to a person, these people are frustrated, and many of them are upset. So I'm looking forward to discussing this with you further, and I appreciate you guys letting me go on. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll see you July 3rd.